天台之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2019年7月18日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radha Chaitanya 为我们继续来讲解永恒的 Chaitanya 经，是 Chaitanya Charitamrita。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sri Rupa Goswami.
今天我们继续来学习《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 中篇逍遥的第十九章。主须切他尼亚马哈帕布教导须卢帕格斯瓦米。
I think there is a question from last week.
上周我们遗留了一个问题。
From Harivansa Prabhu.
Harivansa Prabhu 问了一个问题：怎么理解吃了非奉献者做的食物会影响到我们的知觉？是他们知觉通过火精微的元素影响到了我们的知觉，对吗？How to understand that if we eat the food cooked by non-devotees, then our consciousness is influenced? Is it because their consciousness through the elements of fire comes into our consciousness in a very subtle way? Is that right or not?
There are two elements.
在这里有两种元素。
One is the consciousness of the cook.
第一个呢就是厨师的知觉。
Second is where consciousness takes shelter.
还有一个呢，就是说他们的这个知觉，他们的这种意识究竟是落在哪里。
And the consciousness of the cook takes shelter in the grains.
那么一个厨师的他的这个知觉是托庇于谷物。
And therefore, by eating those grains,We absorb the consciousness of the cook.
也就是说他的这种知觉会进入到这种谷物当中，当我们去吃了他们所烹饪的这个食物的时候呢，那这种影响就会精微的进入到我们的知觉里。
But then you may ask, okay, so what if the cook doesn't cook grains, just makes fruits and salads?
那你可能会询问这样一个问题，要是这个厨师他做的不是五谷类的这种食物，而只不过是做了一个沙拉，比如说是蔬菜啊，或者是水果沙拉。
There's not as much impact, but still we absorb the consciousness of the person.
那可能就不如五谷的这些食物对我们产生的这种影响来的大，但是呢，它还是有一些影响的。
But Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely in the Upadeshamrita.
那 Srila Prabhupada 在 Upadeshamrita 就是教会的甘露里面非常清晰的解释过。
That a devotee only eats Krishna prasadam.
就是一位奉献者只是去荣耀 Krishna prasadam.
Only food which is offered to Krishna.
也就是说供奉给 Krishna 的食物。
So obviously the person who is cooking, who is not a devotee,who is not offering the food to Krishna, it means that you are not eating Krishna prasadam.
那如果是一个非奉献者，他呢做的是五谷类的食物，而且他也没有供奉给 Krishna, 那么很自然你所吃到的、荣耀到的、你吃到的就不是 Krishna prasadam 了。
So, of course, it's a gray area because there are so many different situations.
当然了，这个也是一个模棱两可的这样的一个境况，因为有的时候你会遇到各种各样的情况。
But if, for example, devotees go and eat in a restaurant.
我们举个例子，比如说奉献者一起邀约到一个餐厅里去吃饭。
Out of pleasure.
他们就是为了开心一下吧。
To socialize.
或者呢，就是交往一下。
Because the food is very tasty.
那比如说这个餐厅的这个食物非常的美味。
It's not by saying Hare Krishna that you're going to eat prasadam.
并不是说你只要说了一句Hare Krishna, 你吃下去的食物就都是 prasadam 的。
Prasadam is food cooked by a devotee and offered to Krishna. That's Krishna prasadam.
那什么叫做 Krishna prasadam 呢？指的就是说奉献者做的食物。并且还是供奉给 Krishna 的食物，这个才是严格意义上的 prasada。
Everything else is subject to absorbing the consciousness of the cook.
那除此之外的话，其他的任何的食物呢，都会或多或少的吸收这个厨师的知觉和意识。Yes.
Okay. So we will continue our discussion.
我们继续来。进行我们的讨论。
From last week, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to explain to Srila Rupa Goswami the nature of the different living entities.
那么在上一周呢，我们就是讲到 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 开始教导 Srila Rupa Goswami， 他首先谈到的是。各种各样的生物的本性。
And basically what Lord Chaitanya is doing is he's giving Rupa Goswami and of course the devotees the full spectrum of the existence of the living entities in this universe.
那么我们在这里看到的就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 不仅仅是向 Srila Rupa Goswami， 也是向所有的我们去谈一下整个的宇宙当中的所有生物体的一个全景。
Considering the fact that every living entity is a spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna.
那所有的这个生物体都是 Krishna 的这个永恒的仆人。
And therefore, everyone has the potential, not just human beings, everyone has the potential to express pure love for Krishna.
那既然如此呢，就不仅仅是人类，那么其他所有的这个生物体都有一种向 Krishna 去表达爱的潜质。
So Lord Chaitanya begins by explaining the existence of all the different species of life.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，首先谈到了所有的生物体。
And then he breaks it down to only the human beings.
他先谈到了各种各样的种族，然后呢，慢慢慢慢的缩减讲，把重点放到了人类。
And then out of all the human beings, those who are not considered humans because of their behavior, and those who are considered humans.
那么在所有的这个人类的这个大的范畴之内，又可以分成两类。一类呢，从他的这种行为而言是谈不上是人的，那么还有一类呢，从他们的行为而言可以被认为是真正的人。
So Prabhupada explains that human being means someone who follows the rules and regulations of the Varnashram system.
那释迦牟尼佛解释说，所谓是人类的话，就意味着他们是遵循 Varnashram 制度的，也就是四个社会阶层、四灵性进阶的制度。
Out of all these human beings, some of them will perform pious activities.
在这么多的人中，可能有一些人，他们会去从事虔诚的活动。
Out of those pious human beings, some will become inquisitive about transcendental knowledge.
那在这么多虔诚的人之中，可能有一些人开始对于超然的体质。有了一种萌生了一种好奇心。
Out of those who cultivate knowledge, some of them will become great yogis.
在培养知识的众多的人之中，可能有一些人会成为瑜伽士。
And out of those millions and millions of yogis, some will become bhaktas.
那在千千万万的瑜伽师之中，可能有一些人，他们会成为 bhakta 奉献者。
So now comes the verse that we read last week before the end of the class.
那现在呢，我们就讲到了我们上一周最后的一个时节。
And this is very interesting because, okay, I'll read the verse first again.
首先我再次重复一下这一段时节。
Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashadipoy Bhakti Lata Beej. According to their karma, listen very carefully. According to their karma, all the living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe.Some of them are being elevated to upper planetary system, and some are going down to the lower planetary system. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with the bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a personReceives the seed of the creeper of devotional service.
那这段世界的大意是这样的，就是所有的生物体都依据他们的 karma, 他们的业报，在整个宇宙的各个角落流浪徘徊。他们中有一些会提升到高等的星系，而有一些却会堕落到低等一些的星系，在千千万万这些。千千万万位漫游的生物体中，可能会有一个人，急着 Krishna 的恩典，有机会和真正的灵性导师联谊。急着 Krishna 和灵性导师的仁慈，他会接受到奉爱服务的爬藤的种子。
So, this is quite an extraordinary verse.
那么这个不是 一段非常非同寻常的一段时节。
Because it serves as the foundation of knowledge about how we come to Krishna.
那实际上呢，它就成为一个基石，也就是说我们如何去接近到 Krishna 的这整部知识的一个基石。
First, it is said,According to their karma.
首先呢，就是说讲到了要依据他们的 karma 的业报。
Karma means action and reaction.
那么什么叫做 karma 呢 ？Karma 呢就是活动和反应，或者说因果。
And actions and reactions are based on how the living entity is affected by the modes of material nature.
那么这种活动和反应是它是怎么样运作的呢？这个主要是基于这个生物体它究竟有多大程度上深陷到这个物质自然的这个能量的影响之下，物质自然形态的影响之下。
So there is good karma and bad karma.
所以呢，这样的业报呢，就会有好的业报和坏的业报。
Bad karma means actions which are driven by passion and ignorance.
那什么叫做不好的业报呢？那就是意味着这个生物体它的行动就是完全是被这个激情形态和愚昧形态所控制的。
And good karma means actions driven by goodness.
好的业报呢，指的是被善良自然形态所驱使的活动。
So based on people's karma, they take one.Birth after another in the universe, not always in a human form, but people keep taking birth all the time based on the influence of karma.
那这个灵魂呢，基于它的这个业报的这个情况，它就被迫投身到不同的生物种族之内。那不仅仅是人类了，可能还是其他的一些动物的种族那么。不管怎么样呢，就是生物体这都会一直不断的一次又一次的投生。
So good karma means that one can go up to the upper planetary system Bad karma means going to the lower planetary system.
所以说如果是好的业报的话，那这样的这个生物体呢，它就会上行，它就会到达更高的星宿去。那么如果它是坏的业报的话，那么这个生物体就会下坠至比较低的星系。
And then we have mixed karma.
那这个业报呢也有混合的。
And mixed karma is experienced in this earth planet.
那么这样的一种混合的业报就是我们在这个地球上可以经验到的。
That's why this earth planet is specifically situated right in the middle of the 14 planetary systems.
这就是为什么就是整个的这个星球星系呢有14个，那么这个地球呢就是在这14个星系的中间。
And here on this earth, we can see people with bad karma and people with good karma.
那么在地球上面我们就看到有的人他有好的业报，有的人有坏的业报，是这个交织混合在一起的。
So this is one part of the verse where Lord Chaitanya speaks about the karma of the living entities and how they take birth again and again in different parts of the universe.
那么这是这一段呢，就是主持他念马哈帕布，就是讲到了这个生物体是如何得到他们的这个 karma， 他们的业报的，然后基于他们的这个 karma 业报呢，他们又会投生在整个宇宙的不同的地方。
Then he uses another word.
然后呢，他接下来又用了另外一个词儿
，bhagyavan， which means fortunate.
这个 bhagyavan 的意思就是幸运。
Brahmanda, Brahmite, Konya, Bhagavan, Jiv, fortunate. They are fortunate living entities.
那么这段话呢，意思就是说他们是非常幸运的生物体。
So what does that mean to be fortunate?
什么叫做幸运呢
？It means good luck.
这只是指的是好运吗
？It means destiny.
还是命运的驱使呢
？This word Bhagyavan is very, very specific.
那么这个 Bhagyavan 的这个词，它有一个特定的含义。
For example, this is very interesting because, for example, we are all covered by ignorance.
我们举个例子来说。我们每一个人都是受到这个愚昧形态的覆盖的。
And by some amazing great fortune, we come in contact with Krishna consciousness.
那么基于一种不可思议的好运，然后我们呢就接触到了 Krishna 知觉。
So, how is it possible that someone in ignorance becomes fortunate?
那么一个深陷于愚昧之中的人，怎么就会这么幸运的？就是接触到 Krishna 知觉呢，为什么就能那么的幸运呢
？I remember when I was a new devotee, I used to think sometimes, why me? Why not the neighbor? Why not the guy driving the car down the street? Why me? Why am I in Krishna consciousness?
那么就是我记得我那个还是一个新的 Bhakta 的时候，我经常这样子去思考，我就在想，为什么是我呢，而不是哪个邻居或者是？这个大街上开车的人呢，为什么是我呢？为什么我那么幸运呢
？So Srila Prabhupada explains this in Bhagavad Gita.
那么 Srila Prabhupada 呢，就在 Bhagavad Gita 当中对此做了解释。
In the verse that says, "Yesham dvantakatam papam gyanana punyakarmanam tadvandva mohaniya moktam bhajante mandridavratha." Those who have performed pious activities.In previous lives and in this life,
那这一段的话的意思就是说，前生今世从事了虔诚活动的人
，who are free from sinful activities,
摆脱了罪恶活动的人
，they come to me,
他们会来到我的
，and they worship me with determination,
他们会坚定的崇拜我。
So in other words, the fortunate person is the person who has accumulated.Enough spiritual or pious credit. And Prabhupada explains, piety in this sense means devotional service.
那么就是说什么叫做幸运的人呢？指的就是说那些已经积累了非常虔诚的这些活动的人。 那么就是他们的这个善行已经积累到了一定的程度。在这里Srila Prabhupada尤其的就是指出这个虔诚活动呢，它指的就是奉爱服务。
So we must have done the right thing in the past, so we become fortunate now to meet a spiritual master.
那所以说呢，我们一定是前世做对了一些事情，所以今生我们才能如此幸运的就遇到灵性导师。
And this is when we understand how important it is to spread Krishna consciousness.
那么这一点呢，也能够让我们理解到为什么去传播 Krishna 之觉是那么的重要。
Because by doing so, we create good fortune for other people.
因为当我们去传播 Krishna 之觉的时候，我们就是在为周围的人，为他们去创造好运。
We kickstart.People's journey back to Krishna.
也就是说我们启动了他们回归 Krishna 的旅程。
Whether people know or they don't know.
不管他们是知不知道，他们是否知觉得到。
And most of the time people don't know.
大多数的时候他们都是不知不觉的。
And this is called Agyata Sukriti, unknown pious.activities.
这个就叫做 Agyata Sukriti, 意思呢就是说不知不觉中的虔诚活动。
You give someone a book.
举例来说，你给某一个人一本书。
You give someone prasadam.
你给了他一些 prasadam.
You get someone to chant.
你给了一个人去念诵的机会。
You bring people to the holy dham.
或者呢，带着人去这个圣地。
You give them your association without even them knowing that you're a devotee.
那么就是说呢，你呢给了对方一个奉献者联谊的机会，也就是说你的联谊啊，即便是他们并不知道你的真实的这个奉献者的身份。
All these things are instrumental for people to build up their devotional credit, so that at some point in the future they will be ready to meet a spiritual master.
其实你所做的所有的这些活动，这些努力，其实就是帮助对方去累积他的这个份爱服务那么到了一定的程度呢，他就会有机会去接触到一位灵性导师了。
So now Prabhupada gives very important information. He says Krishna is situated within the heart of all living entities.
那在这里Srila Prabhupada他就说到了一个要点，他说 Krishna 呢是居住在每一个生物体的心中。
And Krishna knows when that living entity is ready to meet a spiritual master.
那 Krishna 他是非常的清楚的，这个生物体他是否已经做好了去遇到一位灵性导师的机会。
And
做好了这个准备去遇到一位灵性导师。
It's interesting to note that today there are so many people who are interested in spiritual life.
今天我们遇到了很多很多的对灵性生活感兴趣的人，这是非常有意思的。
And so many of them actually go to gurus and teachers and masters who actually are not qualified.
然后呢，有很多人他们都来到了那些guru 或者是老师或者是大师的这个面前，而那些人呢，他们其实都是不具备资格的。
Because you cannot give bhakti if you don't have bhakti.
因为一个人他如果是没有 bhakti, 没有奉爱的话，他也不可能给别人 bhakti.
So when we are ready with enough devotional credit,Then Krishna makes the arrangement.
那当我们已经积累了足够的这个奉爱服务的话，那么接下来呢，就是由 Krishna 来做出安排了。
This is the special mercy of Krishna.
这就是 Krishna 的一个特别的恩赐。
Sometimes we see people who are interested in Krishna consciousness, but they may take many, many years, whereas we can just come to Krishna consciousness in one day.
那有的时候呢，我们可以看到呢，有一些人他们其实对这个奉爱服务，对 Krishna 知觉是非常感兴趣的，但是可能他们得要慢慢的，要用上一二十年的这个时间才真正的走进来，而作为我们的话，可能一夜之间 就成为了奉献者。
So Krishna within the heart is known as Antaranga Shakti.
那 Krishna 呢，他就被称为 Antaranga Shakti， 在我们的心中。
The internal potency.
也就是说，我们的它就是一种内在的能量。
And the spiritual master is called Bahir Anga Shakti, means the external energy.
那 Guru 呢就被称为 Bahir Antaranga Shakti， 意思就是外在的能量。Sorry, wrong.
Okay. So, in other words, the spiritual master is the expansion of the super soul within the heart.
那换句话说呢，灵性导师其实就是我们内心的超灵的扩展。
So Prabhupada gives the example of Narada Muni.
那释迦牟尼呢，在这里就举了一个 Narada Muni 的例子。
Narada Muni was the son of a maid servant, a Shudra lady.
那么就是 Narada Muni 的母亲是一位女仆，也就是说呢，她是一个 Shudra 的孩子。
But his mother, she was cleaning and serving some great Vaishnavas who stayed in one place for 4 months during the Chaturmasya period.
那么当时正值 Chaturmasya， 也就是说四月苦行，就是雨季的时候，那有一些非常伟大的这个圣人，他们就聚集在一个地方。那 Narada Muni 的母亲呢，就去为他们打扫卫生，去服务他们。
So Narada Muni was just a little boy.
当时 Narada Muni 还是一个小孩子。
And he used to always be with his mother.
然后呢，他就经常跟着他的妈妈，妈妈到哪儿，他也到哪儿。
So these Vaishnavas, they took compassion on the mother and the boy.
那这些 Vaishnava 这些奉献者们，就对这个 Narada Muni 母子两人产生了怜悯之心。
Because they had such a nice service attitude.
因为呢，他们呢有非常好的这个服务的心态。
And the Vaishnavas gave their remnants of prasadam. They just whatever they left on their plate, they gave to Narada Muni and his mother to eat.
那这些 Vaishnava 圣人们，当他们吃完了这个食物之后，可能有一些剩的这些食物呢，他们就非常仁慈的给了 Narada Muni 和他的母亲。
But Narada Muni was not aware.Of the potency of the Vaishnavas and the potency of eating their remnants.
那么 Vaishnava 的这个力量以及 Vaishnava 的吃剩的这个 prasadam 的这个力量，对于这些 Narada Muni 是一无所知的。
And this impact was so powerful that after Narada Muni's mother died, she died from a snake bite.
那么就是。这个力量是非常的强大的，以至于就是后来当 Narada Muni 的母亲被蛇咬了之后死去之后呢。
So Narada Muni was just a little boy. He left home and he began to wander the world. He started walking through the forest and the hills.
然后呢，他就当时还是一个小男孩，那失去了母亲之后呢，他就离开了家，孤身一人。他就开始踏上了他的旅程，翻山越岭。
And he went into meditation.
有的时候去到森林，然后他经常进入到这个冥想之中。
And Krishna appeared in front of him.
在一次冥想中呢 ，Krishna 就出现在他的面前。
And he became the greatest of all Vaishnavas.
于是他就成为了这个 Vaishnava 中的这个最。Vaishnava 最出色的一位 Vaishnava 奉献者。
So there are two things here to consider.
那么在这里呢，有两点大家需要。
One is by association with devotees in previous life or in this life, we accumulate devotional credit.
首先就是说呢，无论是前生还是今世，当我们和 Vaishnava 奉献者接触联谊之后，我们就累积了。我们的这个奉爱服务的积分。
I mean, if you think about all these great senior Vaishnavas and gurus that we have in ISKCON today, who were they in their past lives?
如果说我们去思考一下现在的 ISKCON 的这些年长的 guru 啊，这些年长的 Vaishnava 奉献者们，你们想一想，他们的前世又是谁呢？
I mean, someone like Jayapataka Swami.
Yeah, 比如说像 Jayapataka Swami 这样的,
or Bhakti Charu Swami.
比如说像 Bhakti Charu Swami.
Or Lokanath Swami.
Lokanath Swami.
Or Gopal Krishna Maharaj.
Gopal Krishna Maharaj.
I mean, they must have been exalted souls in their past lives.
那么你想一想, 他们肯定在前世都是非常伟大崇高的奉献者的。
So one time they asked Prabhupada.
那么有一次呢，有人就是问了释迦牟尼佛一个问题。
What did we do in previous lives to come to you in this life?
就是说我们前世究竟是做了什么，使我们今生能够来到您的跟前呢？
So Prabhupada said two different things.
那释迦牟尼佛呢，他说了两个不同的。
At two different times.
有两次是在一个两个不同的这个场合 Srila Prabhupada 的回答是不一样的
One Srila Prabhupada said to his disciples that my spiritual master sent you to me
有一次呢 Srila Prabhupada 是这样讲的 他对门徒说 是我的灵性导师把你们送到了我的跟前
And another time he said I created your pious critic
然后还有一次呢 他就说 是我创造了你们的虔诚活动
Otherwise, you would not come to Krishna consciousness.
不然的话，你们是不可能进入到Krishna。
So this is a way to show the potency of the spiritual master.
所以呢，从这些我们就可以看到一位灵性导师的力量。
But what we have to remember from that verse is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again by Lord Chaitanya when he's teaching this time Sanatan Goswami.
那就是说在这之后就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他给 Sanatan Goswami 训谕的时候呢他也就同样的就是讲到了这一点这次他也引用了一个细节
Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Sudachitte Karaye Udoi
This is personally said by Lord Chaitanya, a quoted verse.
This is not quoted.
就是这一段是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他直接讲的, 并不是一个引用的世界。
Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of all living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens.
那这段话的意思就是说，在所有的生物体的心中都有纯粹的对 Krishna 的爱，就是对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱建立在所有的生物体的心中，并不是从任何外来源得到的。当一个人的内心 通过聆听和唱诵得到了净化之后，这样的爱自然而然的苏醒。
So because of different levels of consciousness.
那因为呢，这个生物体的这个知觉，这个层面有所不同。
Even though this pure love is in the heart of all the living entities, because of the level of consciousness, either lower or higher, that consciousness may be awakened or may be dormant.
那这样的一种纯粹的知觉呢，实际上是潜伏在所有的生物体心中的。但是，因为他们的这个被覆盖的程度的高低所不一样，所以说呢，他们的这种纯粹的这种知觉，可能有的就是更加的苏醒一些，有的呢就更加的沉睡一些了。
So let's say you chant Hare Krishna in the ears of a dog.
我们举个例子，比如说你对着一条狗去唱诵 Hare Krishna，
or in the ears of a pig，
或者是对着猪的这个耳朵。
What about chanting Hare Krishna to a bug？
那跟一个小虫子去唱 Hare Krishna，
or giving some little grains of Mahaprasadam to an insect or to a bird？
那或者说呢，把这个 Mahaprasadam 一些小碎粒儿给了。
So, Krishna consciousness is awakened to some degree.
那就是说呢，就是这样子呢，就是在某一个程度上面，就是唤醒了。 一点 Krishna 直觉。
Or even sometimes we chant Hare Krishna to an audience, and they hear for the first time. Sometimes they begin to cry.
那有的时候呢，我们可能对着一大群的这个听众唱诵 Hare Krishna， 那他们都听到了。有的时候你会在他们中看到有一些人就会流下眼泪。
But if these living entities or these human beings are not ready to completely be awakened, then it will take more time.
那如果说呢，这个生物或者说是这个人，他其实还没有完全做好苏醒过来的这个准备的话，也就是说还要花更长的一段时间呢。
So when it says Shravanadi Sudachite Karayudo, it means by hearing and chanting, not just once.Repeated hearing, repeated chanting, and gradually pure consciousness is awakened.
那么在这里呢，第二句就是说到了通过聆听和唱诵，纯粹的这个知觉就会被唤醒。那但是这里并不是说只是一次的聆听或者一次的唱诵，它指的是反复的聆听，反复的唱诵。
That's why in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we always recite.Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Ridyandosti Abhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. By constantly hearing the message of the Bhagavatam, all the misconceptions from the heart are removed.
所以在就是阅读圣典薄伽瓦坛之前呢，我们经常会念到这样的一段诗节，它的意思就是说，通过反复的去聆听圣典薄伽瓦坛的讯息。心中的错误的概念就会逐渐的消散，一扫而空。
So this system works for us, and it works for everyone else.
那么这样的一个体系对我们有作用，对其他的所有的人都是起作用的。
By some fortune, we have come in contact with Krishna consciousness.
那出于某一种幸运，我们有机会接触到了 Krishna 知觉。
The plant, the seed of bhakti has been planted by meeting the Vaishnavas and by meeting the spiritual master.
那么通过见到这个 Vaishnava 奉献者还有灵性导师 Guru 们，这个 bhakti 奉爱的这个种子就已经是播下了的。
And then we create the good fortune in others.
然后呢我们进而要为其他人去创造这样的好愿。
So this is how it works. How we understand where am I coming from? How did I manage to end up in this Krishna consciousness movement?
那我是从哪里来的？我怎么就进入了这个 Krishna 知觉这个运动呢？这一切到底是怎么发生的呢？那我们刚才讲的这一切就是一个答案。
Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings.Chakshudhana Dhiloye Jamne Jamne Prabhushe.
那这个就是 Narottam Das Thakur 他歌当中就讲到了这一点。
That my debt and my service to the Guru is not just this life, it's life after life. We never manage to repay the debt to the spiritual master.
在这个诗中呢，他就是讲到了我们亏欠灵性导师的。我们对灵性导师的这个服务，对灵性导师的这个亏欠，就是生生世世都偿还不清的。
Okay, so now we've come to the stage where the guru has planted the seed of bhakti in the heart.
那现在呢，guru灵性导师已经在我们的心中播下了 bhakti 奉爱的种子。
Now let's not forget that pure love is already there.
那我们不要忘记一点，就是说我们的心中原本就有纯粹的爱。
So what is it that the guru is giving?
那既然如此，这个 guru 们他们在给我们一些什么呢？
By planting the seed of bhakti, the spiritual master makes this love grow.
那他呢就给我们播下了这个奉爱的种子，也就是说他帮助我们的这个奉爱的这个小苗让他去成长。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being very methodical how he presents the whole process.
所以呢，在呈现整个的这个程序的时候 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他是非常的循序渐进的。
Next, he says, "Malihanta kare se bija aropana, shravana kirtana jale karaye sechana." This is Bengali language.
那刚才的这一段是孟加拉文，是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 亲口说的话。
Listen carefully.
大家仔细听好了。
When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually,By the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout.
那这段话的意思就是说，当一个人获得了奉爱服务的种子之后，他应当要成为一位园丁，精心的呵护他，在自己的心中播下这一粒种子。如果说他能够经常的通过 Shravana 和 Kirtanam。也就是说聆听和唱诵的程序来浇灌这粒种子的话这粒种子一定会生根发芽
This verse is in some ways quite similar to another verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in the Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita
那这一段诗句呢和就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在 Adilila 也就是上篇逍遥中的一段话是非常的相似的
Where he is inviting everyone to spread Krishna consciousness
在这个上篇当中呢他邀请所有的人去传播 Krishna 之觉
And he says pretty much the same thing that as soon as one receives the plant of bhakti one must become a gardener
在那个上篇当中他也是讲到了当一个人获得了这个奉爱服务的这个爬藤的种子之后就要立刻要成为一名园丁去呵护他。
So this analogy of becoming a gardener is very suitable because we're talking about the seed.
那么在这里呢就是用了园丁这个比喻这个比喻是非常的恰当的因为在这里我们在讲这个种子。
So any of you who have ever done any gardening, you will know how it works.
这个做过园丁的人，你们应该知道这到底意味着什么。
First, the soil has to be fertile.
就是你要是种过地，你就知道了。首先，你这个土呢，必须是要非常的肥沃的。
Second, the seed has to be potent.
还有一个就是这个种子应当是。很有活力的。
And Prabhupada gives the analogy of the husband and wife. If the wife is fertile and the husband is potent, birth will take place.
那释迦牟尼佛就是说，就是夫妇两人他们都有这个孕育的这个很强的能力的话，那么就会怀上孩子，然后这个孩子就会出生长大。
But sometimes people, they have bad seeds.
但是有的时候呢这个有的人他的这个种子不行。
Even if the soil is good, the seeds are bad and nothing will grow.
即便是这个土壤是非常的肥沃的但是如果这个种子不行那可能也是没有办法生根发芽长大。
But this is not the case here. The seed is very good.
但是我们在这里讲的这个情形是不一样的。
Why is it such a good seed? Because it is given by the Guru.
那我们在这里说的这个种子是非常的优秀的种子，优等的种子，因为这个种子是由 Guru 灵性导师播下的。
This is called Guru Prasad.
这个就叫 Guru Prasad.
Means the mercy of the spiritual master.
那换句话说就是说灵性导师的仁慈。
We cannot predict when the mercy of the guru will fall.
我们没有办法预知这个灵性导师的这个仁慈究竟什么时候降临。
So, Prabhupada says that the mercy of the spiritual master is the greatest gift a disciple can receive.
那帕帕就在这里说到呢，灵性导师的仁慈是一个门徒能够获得的。最珍贵最大的礼物
So if the gift of bhakti is given by the guru imagine how we can what is our capacity to reciprocate with the spiritual master after receiving such a gift
那既然这个分爱的这个礼物是我们的灵性导师所馈赠给我们的，那我们就要想一个问题，我们怎么样才能够回馈我们的灵性导师呢？
The best way to reciprocate is by becoming a good gardener.
那么最好的回报于灵性导师的方式就是成为一名出色的园丁。
SoSince the seed is good and the soil is fertile, the seed is being planted, and by adding water, the seed will begin to grow.
那么既然现在这个土壤是肥沃的，而这个种子呢，又是非常的优等的，那我们现在要做的就是去浇水。
If you don't put water, the seed will sit in the soil and will not grow.
那浇了水之后呢，这个种子就会生根发芽。如果你不浇水的话呢，这个土壤是非常的干燥的，那这个种子就没有办法发芽。
And that water is hearing and chanting.
那么这个水是什么呢？这个水就是聆听和唱诵、念诵。
So, this hearing and chanting is also supported by direction from the guru.Instructions from the guru, inspiration from the guru, service to the devotees, this is all watering.
那么这个聆听呢，它不仅仅是这个聆听和唱诵了，它还有来自于灵性导师给我们的指导，给我们的训育，然后呢，还有就是我们和其他的奉献者的这种联谊。和还有我们服务其他的这些奉献者，所有的这些其他的这些因素，它也在支持着这个种子的发芽。
So Prabhupada explains, by pleasing the spiritual master, the seed will receive water.
那释迦牟尼就解释说呢，就是通过取悦了我们的灵性导师，这个种子就得到了水分。
And by being fixed in devotional service.The seed is watered.
当我们专注在我们的奉爱服务中的时候，这个种子也就得到了足够的水分。
By carefully following the instruction of the spiritual master, the seed is watered.
通过谨慎的去追寻灵性导师所给予我们的训育，我们的种子就得到了水分。
So, Prabhupada also explained that this hearing and chanting, it's not justwhat we may think as, okay, I'm chanting my rounds and that's it.
那释迦牟尼说呢，在这里说到的聆听和唱诵呢，也不是那么简单的，不是说哦，我在念诵这就行了，这就万事大吉了，不是这样的。
Or I go to a devotee's home for program and we have kirtan, so that's my chanting.
也不要觉得哦，我就是去参加了一个奉献者联谊活动，我们都在一起唱诵了。那我就算是唱诵过了，念诵过了。
No, hearing and chanting is all day.
这个聆听和唱诵呢，指的是一天从早到晚不间断。
So how do you work this out?
那你这个怎么理解呢？
And you realize that the program that Srila Prabhupada gave us is actually based on chanting all the time.And hearing.
那释迦牟尼为我们创造了一天的活动，你要是仔细的去看一看他所设计的这些活动，就会发现实际上的这个基础就是让我们能够一天从早到晚的不断的在聆听和唱诵中度过。
From the moment that we wake up in the morning until we go to bed, we are engaged in one form or another in hearing and chanting.
就是从我们清晨睁开眼睛起床开始，一直到晚上上床睡觉，在整个这个一天的过程当中，其实我们都在不断的在从事某一种形式的聆听和唱诵。
But we have to be very careful that together with the growth of this plant of bhakti, we don't also water the weeds.
但是我们同时也要非常的小心，在我们去浇灌这个奉爱的种子，让它去成长的过程当中，我们也不要让它边上的那些杂草疯长。
And the weeds come in the form of useless talk.
那什么叫做这个杂草呢？意思就是说，比如说聊空天，就是无用的谈话。
Wasting time.
浪费时间。
Sense gratification.
感官享乐。
Criticizing the devotees.
去指责其他的奉献者。
Hanging on to material attachment.
紧紧地抓住物质的衣服不放。
Neglecting the process of bhakti.
忽略bhakti 的程序，奉爱服务的程序。
All these are weeds that grow along with the plant of bhakti.
那所有的这些这个杂草，它其实就是围绕着那个 bhakti， 我们的奉爱的这个爬藤。在它周边长滋长出来的。
So we need to remove those weeds.
这些杂草是必须要清除的。
Then Lord Chaitanya says, Upajjaya badilata brahmanda vidyaya virajya brahmaloka vidhi paravyomapaya. As one waters the bhakti lata beach, the seed sprouts, and the creeper.Gradually grows to the point where it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River, lying between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahmaloka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through the stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Goloka, Vrindavan.
Stratum means the covering、
yes.
of the universe. 就是说呢，当人去浇灌 Bhakti Lata Beach， 这个种子就会生根发芽，这奉爱的爬藤就会逐步的长大，突破宇宙的覆盖，并且超越宇宙，达到灵性世界和物质世界之间的 Viraj 和。他会真达 Brahma Loka 婆罗赫摩所居住的星宿，会达到放光，穿越宇宙的覆盖层，并且一直向上抵达灵性的天空，到达灵性的星球 Goloka Vrindavan.
So there are two ways to look at this.
那在有可以从两个角度来理解这段话。
But obviously, there are some analogies given here.
那在这里呢，我们显然看到了有一些类比，就是有一些比喻。
It's not like we walk around China with a plant growing out of the heart, and then people say, "What is this plant about? Where is this plant going?" And as you becomeSenior in Krishna consciousness, the plant is getting taller and taller, and then go through the sky.
并不是说呢，你就在这个中国各个地方走着，然后呢，你的这个别人就能看到从你的心脏的部位就长出了一个苗，然后长出了一个植物，一直往上长，往上长，然后你越在这个 Krishna 知觉中的年头越久，越是年长的这个。植物就越长越粗越高，然后一直穿越这个天空，不是这样子。
Or you go to Mayapur for the festival and everybody is walking around with a plant growing out of their hearts.
并不是说大家到了 Mayapur， 大家到处走，然后每个人的这个胸口就都长出了一个奉爱的这个树，然后你可以看到的，不是这样子。
And someone's got a short plant, so you say probably a new person. Somebody's got a big plant, so.Must be very advanced devotee.
不是说有的人的这个植物啊，因为它是新来的，所以就小。然后呢，其他的这个植物长得大的，就说哦，它一定是非常的资深年长的奉献者。
This plant is our consciousness.
这个植物指的是我们的意识。
And how our consciousness can grow to such an extent that we can extricate ourselves.Remove ourselves from the material consciousness into the spiritual consciousness.
也就是说呢，我们的这样的一种意识在不断的向上长，到了一定的时候呢，就可以摆脱到就是物质的 知觉、物质的意识，然后就触及或者说是变成了这个灵性的知觉。
So this consciousness penetrates the walls of the universe.
啊，那么这样子的一个植物，它就会一直往上长，穿越了物质宇宙。
What are those walls?
那物质宇宙的这个高墙是什么呢？
They are all the different material elements.
这个指的就是说不同物质元素所形成的那些厚厚的覆盖。
Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego.
啊，这个土、水、火、气、太、心、意、知性、假我，这些呢就是覆盖，物质覆盖。
So we go, and it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, each layer is 10 times bigger than the other.
那么就像在圣典博伽瓦塔里面所谈到的，就是每一层都比它前面的这一层要厚上10倍。
And the false ego is the biggest one.
而假我是最厚最大的那一层。
And then manage to pierce through this one.And enter into the spiritual sky.
那这个奉爱的这个蜘蛛，它就会穿越、穿透这个厚厚的这个覆盖，然后继续往上涨，就抵达了那个灵性世界。
So Srila Prabhupada makes a very important point here.
在这里，Srila Prabhupada呢就提出一个要点。
He says normally creepers, they take shelter of a bigger plant like a tree. They like to grow.And use a tree as a support, or another plant as a support.
那么 Prabhupada 他说，一般来说，爬藤，它都会，就是依赖其他的更大的这个植物，比如说，它会绕着一棵树长，攀援在这棵树上面往上长。通常，爬藤都是这样的。
But Prabhupada says we should not think like this.
但是 Srila Prabhupada 他说，我们不要这样想。
In other words.You can't take shelter of something material thinking that it will help you to grow spiritually.
你就千万不要把一些世俗的这个事物看得非常的重要，觉得你的这个灵性的这个成长必须要攀援在这个物质的事物上面才能够往上涨。
Krishna consciousness is not a material process where we need material elements to make it better.
那 Krishna 知觉它是一个灵性的程序。并不依赖于任何的一种物质的元素，任何的物质元素也不可能让这个灵性的这个pattern长得更好。
We only rely on spiritual energy to make this plant grow.
那这个灵性的这个植物要往上长的话，只是需要灵性的能量。
The devotees.
包括奉献者。
The prasadam.
Prasadam.
The deities.
还有神像
the Srimad Bhagavatam,
还有呢圣典博伽瓦塔
the Holy Dham,
还有圣地
the chanting,
还有唱诵念诵
these are elements that are worth taking shelter of to make the bhakti lata grow.
那刚才所说的所有的这几个方面呢我们都应当是托庇的因为必须要仰赖这所有的这一切我们的 bhakti lata beach, 我们的奋爱爬藤的这个种子它才能够发芽健康的成长。
Because all these elements are source of spiritual energy because they actually emanate from Krishna's internal energy, internal potency.
因为我们刚才讲的这几个方面实际上都是来源于 Krishna 的内在的这个能量所以它们也就是灵性能量之源。
So, for example, in the offenses to avoid while chanting is to consider the demigod to be on the same level as Krishna.
就比如说呢，在我们的就是唱诵圣名的这个过程当中，要避免十项冒犯。那这个其中的有一项冒犯，就是说把这个半神人等同为 Krishna.
So we should not look for any other shelter in this material world.But spiritual shelters that will help us grow very healthily.
所以说呢，我们呢不要托庇于这个物质世界当中的任何一个世俗的事物，我们应当要完全的 得到这个灵性能量的这种支持，只有通过灵性的这个事物，我们才能够真正的得到成长。
Next, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Tabe yaya tad upari goloka vrindavan krishna charana kalpe brikshe kara arohana. Being situated in one's heart and being watered by Shravana Kirtana, the bhakti kripa grows more and more. In this way, it attains the shelter of the desire tree of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky.
那接着呢，就是讲到了，Bhakti 奉爱的爬藤居于每一个人的，居于一个人的心中，他不断的得到 Shravana Kirtan 聆听和唱诵的浇灌，于是越长越高。就这样，他便抵达了Krishna 的莲花族的如愿树的庇护。Krishna 的这一如愿树永恒的存在于 Goloka Vrindavan 即灵性天穹的最高点。
Yes. So again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is emphasizing Shravana Kirtana.
那在这里呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他再一次重申了 Shravana Kirtana 的重要性。
Prahlad Maharaj has explained the 9 processes of devotional service.
Prahlad Maharaj 他解释过，就是奉爱服务的九种程序。
Which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam, and the result of Shravanam Kirtanam is Smaranam, remembering.
那么它这最前面的三个就是 Shravana Kirtana Smarana， 那这个 Shravana Kirtana 就是聆听和唱诵，那么在你不断的反复的聆听和唱诵之后，自然而然就得到了这个结果，这个结果就是Smarana， 就是意念，对 Krishna 的莲花子的意念。
And this is how we understand the process of Krishna consciousness.
那我们就是通过这样的程序来理解 Krishna 知觉的 Krishna 知觉的。
Because we are not accustomed to do this hearing and chanting all the time.
因为呢这样的一种时时刻刻的唱诵和意念我们还不是很习惯。
Normally it is all centered around ourselves.
因为我们一般呢从事的这个活动都是以自我为中心的。
So, to hear about Krishna and to glorify Krishna is something that
Krishna 唱诵 Krishna 荣耀 Krishna， 这个是我们通常不太喜欢的。
Wait.
这个网络有问题
吗 ？Ask her if she heard.
刚才那段听到了吗？那我再重复一下吧。聆听，唱诵。Krishna 这个是我们平常都不太习惯的，因为我们长久的所有的这些活动都是围绕着自我的。
So the reason why hearing and chanting is so much emphasized is because in the spiritual world it's the basis of everything.
那为什么在这里一而再再而三的去强调 Shravana Kirtan 聆听和唱诵的重要性呢？是因为在灵性世界，这个聆听和唱诵呢，是一切的基础。
This is the fundamental principle of eternal existence with Krishna in the spiritual world, is that all the servants of Krishna constantly hear, constantly chant, and therefore constantly remember.
那么在这个灵性世界，所有的这个灵魂，他所从事的这个活动。最多的就是Shravana Kirtana， 就是聆听和唱诵，然后伴随着这个 Shravana Kirtana 也就是有着不断的这个意念，所以说呢这个 Shravana Kirtana 它就成为我们所有的这个灵性活动的一个基础。
So we'll stop here.
那我们就讲到这里。
And we'll discuss more about the process of hearing and chanting next week.
我们下一周再进一步的来探讨这个聆听和唱诵的程序。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 聆听和念诵的程序。我们来看一下现在，应该是已经有几个问题。第一个问题来自于仆人的仆人。灵性导师是内心超灵的扩展，到底是什么意思 ？What's the exact meaning of the spiritual master as the expansion of the super soul and the heart?
Good question.
你这个问题很好。
We are not qualified to see the super soul face to face.
因为呢，我们还没有资格能够面对面的见到超灵。
The nature of the super soul is described in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 13.
在这个《薄伽梵歌》的第十三章中呢，就是对于灵魂的本性有了这个描述。
The super soul is
超灵。
Krishna as the super soul is seated within the heart.And acts as a witness and a permitter.
那么就是说，超灵呢，它是在每一个生物体的这个心中，那它就是以这个见证者和准许者的身份存在着。
And in order for the living entity to understand the function of the super soul, we need someone who is.Realized in knowledge and in practice.
那要觉悟到这个超灵呢，那我们就必须要有一个人来帮助我们。他一定是已经对于这个超然的知识有了全然的觉悟的。
And that's the function of the spiritual master.
那灵性导师就是扮演的这样的一个角色。
The spiritual master represents the super soul and speaks out what the super soul may say to us that we may not hear.
那这个灵性导师呢，他就是超灵的这个代表，那我们超灵的话，我们可能听不见，所以说灵性导师就把超灵要跟我们说的这种话说出来了，让我们能够亲耳的听到。
As a matter of fact, the super soul talks to us all the time.
事实上呢，这个超灵一直不断的在对我们说话。
What can be known as intuition?
那就是我们有的时候有这种本能直觉，就是这种直觉，其实有的时候就是来自于这个超灵。
What we may know as introspection.
还有我们的这种内省。
How do you know if what you are thinking or feeling is correct? You check with the spiritual master.
那么你的所思所想，还有你的所感，究竟是否是真实的？那么你就要去询问一下你的这个灵性导师，要向他去求证。
It's important to understand that when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the super soul is a witness does not interfere, only witnesses.
那就是 Krishna 呢，他在这个《薄伽梵歌》里面讲到，超灵在心中就是一个见证者。那什么叫做见证呢？他只是客观的去见证一切，而不是说去干涉你。
And permitter means it allows you to do whatever you want.
然后还有说到，就是他是个准许者。准许者的意思就是说，他允许你去做你想做的那些活动。
Because the jiva, the living entity, has freedom of choice and independence.
因为这个个体。灵魂也就是 Jiva 它是有这个独立的这个意志的，所以说它可以依据自己的这个愿望去从事一些活动。
At least that's what the Jiva thinks he has, but actually there is no independence and there is no freedom.
那么至少呢，就是这样的一种独立性和自由度呢，是这个个体灵魂自以为是的这样的一个状况。实际上他们是没有真正的独立性和自由的，
so,
但是他会这样认为。
When the super soul allows the conditioned soul to do whatever they want, it means that he brings the conditioned soul to deal with material nature, and material nature takes care of all the desires of the living entities.
那 那么就是说超灵它作为一个准许者，允许个体的灵魂去从事他想做的这个活动，它指的意思就是说就是超灵呢把这个个体的这个灵魂让它跟这个物质自然进行接触，然后呢就由物质自然来掌管和主导这个个体灵魂的欲望啊还有等等所从事的这些活动了。
The super soul only personally gets involved when the conditioned soul begin the journey back to Krishna.
那当这个个体灵魂它踏上了回归 Krishna 的这个灵性之旅的时候，超灵它才会直接的就是介入，它会亲自的介入。
Then the super soul tells the spiritual master gives shelter to this person.
然后呢这个时候超灵它就会指导这个灵性导师，让灵对灵性导师说你要庇护这个灵魂。
Or the super soul begins to push you aroundSo you find yourself exposed to Krishna consciousness.
或者是呢，你这个心中的超灵，它就会推动着你，让你就是接触到这个 Krishna 知觉。
Like, how do you explain that of millions of people in one city, 20 or 30 of them find themselves in a room chanting Krishna with the devotees, Krishna's name with the devotees? Why those people? Why not all the other people in the city?
那你怎么来解释这样的一个现象？在一个有几千万人的这个城市里面，可能就只有这么二三十人聚在一个场所、一个房子里面，然后他们一起来唱诵 Krishna 的这个圣名，就是奉献者和奉献者一起联谊去唱诵主的圣名。那为什么就是这么几个人呢，而不是其他这么多人呢？你怎么来解释呢？
This is the work of the super soul.
那这个呢就是超灵他所做的这个活动。
Okay, next question.
下一个问题来自于聆听，请问帕布，门徒如果觉得自己的启迪灵性导师没有足够力量指导他，或者对他没有足够的关爱，这个时候会怎么样呢？ So there's a question about the disciple's feeling about his spiritual master. If the disciple feels that his Diksha Guru doesn't have enough power or potency to guide him, or...doesn't care about him enough, what will happen?
There is a possibility that the spiritual master may not be advanced enough to give complete guidance to the disciple.
首先呢就是说这种可能性是存在的，就是一个灵性导师他可能还没有达到一个足够的高度，他能够对他的这个门徒有一个全面的一个庇护 ，a complete shelter, a complete guidance, 给他全面的指导。
Therefore, in the Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that one must take spiritual initiation from a Paramahansa Uttam Bhakta to get the desired result.
那么就是说，在这个Upadeshamrita 教会的甘露里面的确也是说到了，就是一个人呢，他如果要，他必须要去托庇于一个 Paramahamsa, 一个至尊天鹅，一个一流的这个奉献者，然后这样子呢，他呢才能够获得的他的这个享誉的成果。
And when that is not the case, then we have shelter to so many other Shiksha Gurus.
那如果说万一他遇到的是这样的一种情况的话，那么还有很多很多的 Shiksha Guru, 就是训示的灵性导师呢。
And that happened even with many of the Gaudiya Vaishnav spiritual master from Asampradayas, who were initiated by a village guru who gave them Diksha, but was not powerful enough to push them forward, so they took Shiksha from someone who is very exalted.
那么其实在我们的这个 Gaudiya Vaishnava 的这个使徒传承当中，的确这种情况也是不少见的，就是说有一些人在我们的传系当中的一些 Acharya 灵性导师他们最初的时候是从这个，就是比如说某一个村子里面，在村子他是托庇的村子里面的一个灵性导师，一个当地灵性导师，但是这个灵性导师他也是力量有限，他不能得到这种完全的这种力量。之后他是托庇的这个 Shiksha， 也就是说训示灵性导师，所以我们这个传承当中他是一个训示灵性导师 Shiksha Guru 的一个传承。
And the other side of thinking that the Guru doesn't care about me，
另外还有一个，你在这里提到说，就是有的门徒觉得我的灵性导师不怎么关爱我，或者没有对我有足够的关爱。
It's not proper and it's not correct to say that.
那就是这样的一种心态，这样说这样的话呢，这是不恰当的。
In the Vedic time, the disciple used to live in the ashram with the guru 24 hours a day for many, many years.
那在这个伟大的年代呢，门徒他是跟灵性导师一起住在一个 ashram， 一个修院里面，住在灵性导师的修院里面，这样他们一天24小时都在一起，就这样朝夕相处了几甚至几十年，很多很多年。
That system is not there anymore.
但是到了现代呢，这样的一个制度就已经是几乎不复存在。
So we may not always have the opportunity to be in touch with the spiritual master.
所以我们可能没有机会就是一直能够和我们的灵性导师保持连接。
It doesn't mean that the guru doesn't care.
但是这并不意味着你的灵性导师就不在乎你了。
There are literally thousands of disciples of Srila Prabhupada who never spoke to Prabhupada, who never received a letter from Prabhupada, who never saw Prabhupada, and yet they are very attached to their, and they never felt that Prabhupada doesn't care.
那比如说 Srila Prabhupada 他有几千位门徒都是可能从来没有见过他，从来没有跟他说过话，也没有从施拉帕帕那里得到过这个亲笔信。那但是这些门徒他从来都不会觉得施拉帕布帕不在乎他，没有关爱到他的。
So we have to understand that the relationship with the guru is based on instructions.
然后另外一点我们要明白，门徒和灵性导师之间的关系是基于训示。
And teachings.
还有教导。
And anything else above that, then it's a bonus.
那么除了这个训示和教导之外，更高的，这个就是你的额外的收获了。
And we have to also remember that we have to be a good disciple, because sometimes we may think that the guru is neglecting us, but we have to look at our own behavior also.
另外我们也要内省啊，有的时候我们会觉得啊，我们的灵性导师对我们关照不够，关爱不够，但是你也要看一看作为门徒你的这个行为又是怎样呢。
I'm not saying this is your case, but in some cases some disciples are nonsense and they wonder why the guru is neglecting them.
那我说的不是指的是你，但的确有这样的情况，有的门徒呢胡作非为，但是然后他又觉得他的灵性导师忽略他，不理睬他。
Charu Chitra,
马特吉问了一个问题，感恩帕布翻译主持，您讲到杂草包括忽略 Bhakti 的程序，我没明白这确切的意思，请您解释。You just mentioned that the weeds include neglecting Bhakti process, Bhakti procedure.I don't know the exact meaning of that. Can you elaborate on that?
Elaborate on what?
When you say that neglecting the procedure of bhakti as one form of weeds. Why
yes.
do you say that? What does that mean, neglecting the bhakti?
Well, what happens if you don't water a plant?
如果你要种一个植物，但是你却不给它浇水，又会怎样呢？
Like here in our home in Beijing, we have many green plants, but every time we travel, we fill them up with water, but when we come back, we can see their faces are withered. So we have to water them again.
那我们举个例子，比如说我们在北京家里面种了好些绿植，每一次去旅行的时候，我们就把它们泡在那个水盆里面。但是即便是如此，等我们旅行回来的时候，还是可以看到就好多这个绿植就有些枯萎了。那现在 怎么办呢？你就得赶紧再给他浇水了。
So when we neglect our sadhana, when we become very casual, when we commit offenses, then the plant of bhakti suffers a lot.
那么当你呢，就是说，对于这个 sadhana 就是规范修习的程序，非常的这个忽略，或者说你的这个态度非常的漫不经心的话，那么你这样子的话呢，你的就是分爱的这个爬藤其实就是被窒息的，因为它没有足够的水。
And what happened is sometime if this plant is neglected or damaged, it may also contaminate the others.
那这个就是如果一个植物呢它枯萎了或者患上了病，它就是长得不好了，那它可能还会去传染其他的植物呢。
Like sometimes you have a virus and you need to be isolated from other people.
比如说有的时候你染上了某种病毒，这个时候呢就要隔离，让你不跟其他的人接触。
So what happened is sometimes Krishna isolates a devotee when they are not looking after their spiritual life properly until they have some quiet time, they become introspective, they realize that they have been very neglectful, and then he brings them back into the midst of the Vaishnava so they can grow nicely again.
那有的时候呢，有一些奉献者呢，他就是在自己的这个灵修上面非常的怠惰，非常的忽略了。那这个时候呢 ，Krishna 可能会做出一种安排，把他暂时的隔离起来，好像是被孤立了一样。那么他呢，自己就可以有一些更加安静的时间去反省，思考，然后去经历他自己的内心的这个过程。然后过了这一段时间之后，当他想明白了，那么Krishna 就会把他再一次带到这个 Vaishnava 奉献者的群体当中。
So we have to be very careful.
所以呢，我们得要非常的小心。
If you want to know how to take care of your bhakti plant, read the Upadeshamrita.
那如果说你想知道怎么样才能最好的去照看好你的分爱服务的爬藤，那最好的办法就是你要读一下这个 Upadeshamrita。也就是教诲的甘露。
Okay, Puran is back.
仆人108询问说，灵性导师被取悦是什么意思？是不是灵性导师对我们生气，或是对我们的服务没有任何评论鼓励，就说明灵性导师没有被取悦？ It's an extension of the previous question. That.What does that mean that the spiritual master is pleased? So if the spiritual master is angry with us or has no comment or encouragement towards our service, that means the spiritual master is not pleased.
No. Don't project, don't project your mental condition onto what the spiritual master is thinking and doing.
千万不要把自己的这种心境给投射到灵性导师的身上，不要因为灵性导师说的话或者是做的这个事情，然后就用你的这种角度去判断。
Whatever the position of the guru is always mercy for the disciple.
不管灵性导师呢，他做了什么，他都是对门徒非常的仁慈的。
If the spiritual master is silent, that is mercy for the disciple. If the spiritual master is angry, that is mercy for the disciple. If the spiritual master is merciful, that is mercy for the disciple. In any case, it's always mercy.
就是灵性导师永远对自己的门徒是抱着一种仁慈的，不管他是沉默不语，他还是非常的愤怒生气，还是说他直接的表达他的仁慈，都是仁慈。
We shouldn't be guided by emotions.
我们不要被我们的个人的感情所牵制。
The relationship with the guru is based on two things. One is devotional service. Second is sadhana. If we do both, even if the guru never talks to us, we have to understand the guru is very pleased.
然后呢，其实我们跟灵性导师之间的关系只是基于两个最重要的基石，一个就是我们的这个 sadhana 每天的规范修习，然后还有一个就是奉献服务。只要有了这两条的话，即便是你好像灵性导师没有对你说什么话，那你也要知道灵性导师是被取悦的，他是非常的仁慈的。
I'll tell you a short story.
我给你讲一个小故事。
One Mataji wanted very badly to serve Prabhupada in India.
曾经有一个 Mataji, 他就是心心念念的渴望着去 Vrindavan 去服务。
Did I say Vrindavan? India.
在印度去服务那个Srila Prabhupada, 他总是渴望着亲身的到印度去服务。
So Prabhupada agreed that she would go to India.
那是了，爸爸就同意了，说你可以来印度。
And she had children.
她还有孩子。
So she was both in Mayapur and in Vrindavan.
那么这个是了，爸爸来，她同时，那她呢，同时就去了 Mayapur 还有这个 Vrindavan.
She.
Yeah, 就是这个 Mataji, 她去了。
Now, when she was in the West, she was able to do a lot of service because it's easy for Matajis to do a lot of service in the West, such as dressing the deities, cooking for the deities, doing temple service, etc.
那么她之前是在西方，那么在西方的这个国家里面有庙，那么她就是对她来说，作为一个 Mataji, 她做一些服务，就是非常的。轻而易举的，非常容易就有机会去做。比如说，他去就是给神像穿戴，每天穿戴、打扫卫生啊，做供奉啊等等。
But in India, everything was very different.
但是到了印度的话，这个情形就大不相同了。
Because Matajis can't go on the altar to dress the deities, they can't cook for the deities, they can't do all sorts of things that because women have a different position in the holy dham.
那么到了像印度呢，那就是在这样的这个圣地，就是女性她们的这个所处的这个位置是不一样的，所以呢，就是在这个神坛上面，和神像有关的那些服务，比如说穿戴神像啊，然后为神像做 prasadam 啊，这个通常来说女性都是不能做的。
And on top of that, she had to look after her children.
那除此之外，她还要去照顾。这个孩子呢
So basically, her service in India was to look after the kids.
所以呢，就是说，在这个印度呢，她的这个服务基本上就是只剩下了去照顾自己的孩子。
And in those days, you know, the Mayapur and Vrindavan were not very developed, so it was heavy brahmacharis, heavy sannyasis, and they would make the women feel that, what are you doing here?You're not supposed to do anything here. Stay out of the way.
当时的在这个印度的他的因为这个当地的这个情况的影响所以说还没有说先进到那个程度。那就是在那里的Brahmachari 啊遵守僧啊还有这些 Sannyasi 托钵僧是非常的严厉的对于女性像他这样的 Mataji 也是比较的严厉的就是说你到这里来干什么在这里也没有你做的事情就是这样子的一个态度对。
So she felt very depressed. She felt completely isolated.
她感觉到自己就是非常的孤立无援非常的这个伤心也感到非常的压抑。
But she was afraid to talk to Prabhupada about it.
但是呢她又很害怕她不敢跟Srila Prabhupada说。
But one day in Vrindavan, she was walking right outside Prabhupada's room.
然后有一天呢就是在文班文他正好就是在这个施乐帕尔帕的房间外面。
And she saw that Prabhupada was in the room and he was on his own.
他就看到施乐帕尔帕单独一人就在屋子里面待着呢。
So she said, this is my chance.
然后他就想了这个这是我的机会来了。
So she walked in and she sat in front of Prabhupada.
然后呢他就进了施乐帕尔帕的房间 然后就坐到了 Srila Prabhupada 的对面。
But she was so scared. If Prabhupada talks to me, I don't know what to say.
然后但是呢，她心里面是非常的忐忑，非常的害怕的。她想，要是 Prabhupada 跟我说什么的话，我可能都答不上来。
So Prabhupada looked at her and he said yes.
然后 Srila Prabhupada 就抬起头来说，嗯。
And as soon as Prabhupada said yes, she started to cry.
然后 Srila Prabhupada 一说 yes。Yes, 那意思就是说什么事？那啪啪才出了这么一声一个声音的时候，他就忍不住的这个就流了眼泪了。
And she felt I'm just a useless disciple. I'm hopeless. I can't do anything.
他当时的感觉就是觉得他自己什么用都没有，然后也无药可救，没有希望，觉得什么都做不了，是这样的一种。
I'm not a good disciple.
然后他在 Papa 面前，他就觉得我不是一个好门徒。
So she was thinking all these things in her head while Prabhupada was saying yes.
那 Papa 其实才说了一个 yes， 然后他就是他的，就是这个 Mataji 的脑子里却有这么多的念头闪过。
So she gathered some courage and she said, Prabhupada, everybody tells me that.I'm not supposed to be here. I'm just a useless devotee with my kids. I don't know what to do. I'm not pleasing you.
然后呢，他就对 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他忐忑不安的，就是说，他终于就是鼓足勇气跟 Srila Prabhupada 他说，所有的人都说我在这里根本就没有用，我就在这里拖着孩子，什么事也做不了。我觉得呢，我没有很好的取悦你。我什么事都没有做。
So Prabhupada asked her.
那 Srila Prabhupada 就问他说。
Okay, but do you read my books?
然后 Srila Prabhupada 就问他说，那好吧，你有没有看我的书呢？
And she said, Prabhupada, I read your books every day.
他说，然后呢，这个 Mahaji 就说， Srila Prabhupada, 我每天都看你的书。
And Prabhupada replied, then.I am very pleased.
然后 Papa 就说，那我非常的高兴。
And she completely melted.
然后呢，她就觉得好像心都融化了，就是这个 Mataji 就觉得心都融化。
So we should not misread the guru. We should not think, oh, he's not happy, he's not pleased, I'm useless. No, we have to understand good sadhana and service, even if we never talk to the guru, even if we never see the guru,The guru is pleased.
所以说呢，你呢，就是说不要就是误读了这个灵性导师的想法。就是你有两点，你只要做到了的话，那你的灵性导师一定是被你取悦的，而且灵性导师一定是非常的高兴的。一个就是你的 sadhana， 你的规范修习，然后还有一个就是说你在做奉献服务 ，sadhana and devotional service.
Yes.
就是这两点，你只要一直在坚持做，没有中断，那么即便是你见不到灵性导师的面，也没有机会跟灵性导师交谈，你都要知道你的灵性导师是非常的高兴的。
Okay, one more question and then we finish, because I'm running out of battery on my phone.
那最后的一个问题，因为我的手机快没电了，所以也就不能往下讲了。幸运星说，感谢帕布精彩的讲课，请问古时候咕噜是怎么指导女性门徒的？是女咕噜带着女性门徒一起居住吗？现在可能有所改变。 Thank you very much for your wonderful class. My question is, in the ancient time, how the gurus guided their female disciples? Is that the female gurus living with female disciples?Maybe in the modern time, it has been changed.
In the ancient times,
就是在古代的时候呢，
those who lived with a guru were single men.
就是和 guru 生活在一起的都是单身的男子或者是男孩子。
And we have to understand there were different kinds of gurus.
那另外呢，我们也要知道 guru 还要分成好几类。
So you have the guru that has an ashram and is surrounded by his brahmachari disciples.
有的呢，就是 guru 带着他的这些 brahmachari 的门徒，也就是真守生们，他们居住在一起，他们所居住的这个地方就是 guru 的 ashram， 他的修院。
And then you have the guru who has disciples who are not brahmacharis, but they're householders, they're married with children.
那么还有一些 guru 呢，他们的门徒是居士，很多都是居士。那么也就是说，已经成了家有孩子的、有家室的人。
So they may come to visit the guru in his ashram, or the guru may go and visit them.
那么这些居士的这个门徒就会来到 guru 的这个 ashram 这个修院。来拜见咕噜，或者咕噜他可能也会反过来去到这些居士的家里面去
but it,
去见他们。
It's not a restricted system because you have gurus who are female who have male disciples.
但是呢，这个制度也不是这么一成不变，那么严格的，就是。因为也有一些女门女 guru 她们是有男性的门徒的。
Or they have guru female who only have female disciples.
还有一些女 guru 她们是只收女性的门徒。
So it really varies.
所以这个就是要根据情况了。
As long as the guru is well established and the disciples are well established.
只要是。guru 呢，他在自己的这个位置上，履行自己的职责，然后门徒也是。那么只要是有这样的一个基础的话，
But it's also,
那么就没有问题。
It's also why the husband is considered to be the guru of the wife.
那么就是我们说呢，其实丈夫他也是妻子的灵性导师。其实，为什么这样讲呢？也是有这方面的道理。
So you can talk to your husbands and tell them, are you supposed to be my guru?
那么你可以跟你的丈夫谈，问你的丈夫，你是不是应该做我的 guru, 我的灵性导师啊？ Yes, no.
Okay, so we'll stop here.
好，那我们的今天就到，今天的讲课到这里结束。
Thank you, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees and for your good questions.
感谢所有的奉献者以及你们提出的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kashadesh Yatra ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Vaikuntha Jin, 服务员于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们。今天的永恒的潜在人精是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束，我们下周同一时间再见。今天讲到的是Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第十九章，感谢大家的聆听，祝大家度过充满着 Krishna 智慧的一天。 Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna